It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
When I started in legal aid in 1980, there were 17 lawyers in the office. We now have four. So we have a major need to add new lawyers.
Currently, then, we receive local government funding from the City of Richmond and New Kent County. But for the coming year, we have approached the other local government jurisdictions in our service area, Henrico and Chesterfield, as well as we'll be approaching Petersburg and the Charlottesville-Albemarle areas.
Henry McLaughlin, Executive Director, and Sheila Mant, Director of Fund Development, discuss Central Virginia Legal Aid Society's funding needs and what's being done to meet them. And during this week's question and answer, you'll find out what crucial information doesn't get told to claimants who appeal their unemployment compensation denials. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 46, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. On April 30th, the U.S. Senate voted down the one common-sense solution that would have prevented over a million families from losing their homes to foreclosure, allowing bankruptcy judges to modify home loans to fair market terms. This measure would have encouraged mortgage servicers to voluntarily restructure mortgages to make them more affordable in greater numbers, saving up to 1.7 million families from foreclosure. It also would have saved their neighbors from losing an additional $300 billion in reduced property values caused by these preventable foreclosures. Instead of defending ordinary Americans, the majority of senators went with the banks, the same banks who have benefited so richly from bailout funds. According to the Center for Responsible Lending, the mortgage crisis continues to worsen, and the need for this legislation will only grow. But millions of homeowners and all Americans waiting for economic recovery will pay dearly for this delay. In other news, unfortunately for those seeking information about President Obama's plan to help homeowners avoid foreclosure, many websites have cropped up designed to lure those people into paying for services the government offers them for free. These websites use the same look and feel of the Obama campaign website and the current White House website, use a video of the president speaking, and, almost certainly without legal authorization, use the Obama campaign logo. All this is designed to give the false impression that the sites are somehow government-related or government-sponsored, and that people will be referred to a legitimate government program. Unfortunately, they'd be wrong. These websites send their visitors to a site for a clearly for-profit, privately owned program that offers to help you get a new loan for some undetermined fee. Remember, no legitimate government site ever will use a campaign logo and never will charge a fee for services to help homeowners avoid foreclosure. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegebright.
Keep on walking, keep on.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is filing fee. A filing fee is a fee you usually must pay to file a case or a legal paper with a court. Some cases, such as a petition for a protective order, a petition for child support, or a petition for spousal support, require no filing fee. For other cases, the filing fee ranges from $12 to $200. If you can't afford a filing fee, you can ask the court clerk for a form to apply for free filing. The form asks for information about your income and property, and only the judge can allow you to file for free. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and filing fee is this week's legal term of the week.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Tony, Richmond, Virginia.
Thank you, Tony. Welcome to the show. What question do we have this week?
I'm very concerned about the appeals process with the Virginia Employment Commission. It's been about 4 months now, and I'm at the first level of appeals. And I'm wondering, in light of the fact, or I should say even in light of the fact that we're experiencing some very difficult times economically with regard to employment, I'm wondering, why is it taking so long to get to a court or a hearing date for the first level of appeals?
Well, Tony, that's a very good and timely question, and to be honest, I'm a little surprised that it is taking that long. Let me review quickly what the process is. It's a three-step process. The first step is you file your claim and you have a deputy's determination. After you file your claim for benefits, there's a report sent to your employer, fills it out. If there's any contest, you get a claimant and employer fact-finding interview with a deputy, and after that, the deputy issues a decision. The losing party then has 30 days to file a written appeal to what's called first level appeals, which is an appeals examiner hearing. Typically, it's taking about 7 weeks to schedule the hearing and another 5 after it's scheduled until it's actually heard. So it's usually taken about 3 months. Now, do you recall when you filed your appeal?
I filed my appeal on 2 April 2009.
Oh, well, if you filed it on April the 2nd, that's been less than a month. So probably you're going to get a call from the Virginia Employment Commission sometime in May, scheduling your hearing for sometime in June. Now, when you asked for your hearing, did you ask for an in-person hearing or not?
I was not given I was just told that we will schedule your hearing. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I believe, my knowledge, I believe I'm just going to allow it to be scheduled. I'll appear at the hearing location at the date and at the time that's scheduled for me. But yes, I would like one in person.
Well, and the reason I asked that question is that unless you specifically ask for an in-person hearing, it will be scheduled telephonically. And I don't like that. And when I do these cases, and we do a lot of them here at Legal Aid, and I understand you will be contacting us shortly about that, I always ask that it be in person. There's three reasons for that. One is I think claimants come across a lot better in person than they do over the phone. Second, I think employers come across worse in person than they do over the phone. And third, if there are a lot of documents in handling the case, and I don't know whether yours does or does not involve a lot of documents, it's so much easier to deal with those if everybody is sitting around the same room rather than scattered out amongst three different offices all communicating by telephone. Now, I would point out that if you, as the claimant, ask for an in-person hearing, the employer still has the option of participating either in person or over the telephone, but that's fine. You have no control over what they do. You do have control over what you do. So do you think you will be asking for an in-person hearing?
I would prefer an in-person hearing. Once again, with regard to some things you just said, I was not aware that I have to go back to the VEC after having filed my first level appeal to say, okay, I prefer this rather than a telephonic. You've just told me something new that even VEC hasn't informed me of, that I have the option of a telephonic hearing or an in-person hearing. This is something new to me that they did not inform me.
Well, Tony, I'm glad we could be of assistance to you, and far be it from me to defend the Virginia Employment Commission, but they are dealing with an unprecedented number of cases. There are probably twice as many claims being filed this year than there were last year at this time. They're getting 10,000 claims a week, so you can imagine the volume that they have to deal with. Nevertheless, they should be informing people when they appeal to the appeals examiner of that choice, and apparently they did not in your case.
You are correct, sir. I will be contacting them in the very near future to set up my preferences.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the show. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Richmond office of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we're talking with Henry McLaughlin, Executive Director, and Sheila Mant, Director of Fund Development, about Central Virginia Legal Aid Society's funding needs and what's being done to meet them. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What are the biggest legal problems Central Virginia Legal Aid Society currently is helping clients with, Henry?
To prevent foreclosures, to prevent evictions from their homes, to reverse denials of disability income when clients are entitled to that, and to help clients deal with domestic violence.
That's quite a long list. Other than seeking additional funding, Henry, what is Central Virginia Legal Aid Society doing new or differently to meet these legal problems?
Well, we have gone to the private bar and asked them to increase their pro bono free help to our clients through our office. We also, as our lawyers, have taken on added caseloads, and we have tried to do more holistic things to help people, particularly in the current economic crisis. And one innovation we have is we have, on behalf of women who have been beaten or subjected to physical violence of other kinds, we have been representing them to seek jury trials to get judgments to get recovery of money damages.
So that's what you mean by holistic, moving just beyond the presenting problem and thinking about things in a more general sense, and maybe doing new and creative things that haven't been done in the past?
If we, for example, are representing a client in a case involving domestic violence, we'll look into whether or not they have a mortgage problem and may be entitled to rights under that. If we have somebody who's facing an eviction, we try to make sure we talk to them about food stamps and things like that.
Henry, what are Central Virginia Legal Aid Society's biggest funding needs right now? In other words, what would Central Virginia Legal Aid Society do with additional funding?
We would hire new lawyers. When I started at Legal Aid in 1980, there were 17 lawyers in the office. We now have 4. So we have a major need to add new lawyers.
I'll turn the questioning over to you, Sheila. What's the annual budget for Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and where does that funding come from?
Our budget's about $2.7 million and projected for 2009, and as of now, we received about 80% of that from government sources and Legal Services Corporation. The remaining funds come from private donations from corporations, foundations, and individuals, private attorneys, and law firms in the community.
Now, you mentioned government funding. Is that just federal government funding? Is that state government funding? Is it a combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two, and we receive local government funding as well, $59,500 annually from the city of Richmond, and then are, for this year, approaching local jurisdictions in our service area.
Okay, well, let's start at the top and kind of work our way down. Let's start with the federal funding. I gather that comes from the Federal Legal Services Corporation. Where does that funding come from? What's the channel for that money?
That money is appropriated through Congress, and then we also receive some of it through Legal Services Corporation of Virginia, which is our state money.
Okay, and so where does the state money come from? What's the conduit there?
There are three sources of that state money. There's the interest on lawyers' trust accounts, which is regulated through the Virginia Supreme Court, in which lawyers who have pooled trust accounts that are short-term or nominal then send the interest to the Legal Services Corporation of Virginia, which distributes it to legal aid. There's also a filing fee when people file civil cases. A portion of the filing fee goes to Legal Services of Corporation of Virginia, that goes to the legal aid societies throughout the state, and a general appropriation by the Virginia General Assembly, which also goes to the same funding Legal Services Corporation of Virginia.
So it's kind of like a three-legged stool. We've got three different sources of state money coming into the Legal Services Corporation of Virginia.
Right.
Okay, now, Sheila, going back to the local government funding, what local governments currently fund Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and do you anticipate that others are going to be asked to contribute as well?
Currently, then, we receive local government funding from the City of Richmond and New Kent County. But for the coming year, we have approached the other local government jurisdictions in our service area, Henrico and Chesterfield, as well as we'll be approaching Petersburg and the Charlottesville-Albemarle areas.
And you mentioned non-governmental funding. Could you tell us about that, Sheila?
We receive about $120,000 a year in support from private attorneys and law firms. And then last year, we received about $160,000 in financial support from local corporations and foundations that supported both our existing programs and an expansion of our service delivery and infrastructure initiatives.
Okay. And can you name some of those foundations, and are they supporting specific types of projects, or is it more general funding just to run the operation?
It's a combination of both. We've received funding in the Petersburg community from the Cameron Foundation to support our Southside Petersburg office and our work for public benefits initiatives with families and individuals and families in need. Here in Richmond, we received some capital support to help us with our intake system to upgrade that from the Mary Morton Parsons and a private Richmond foundation. And then, of course, the support we received from individuals as well.
Does a Central Virginia Legal Aid Society get funding from any of the local United Ways?
We do receive funding from United Way, a little less than $100,000, about $97,000 a year we get, which covers, it's dispersed amongst all of our programs, our homelessness prevention, our domestic violence advocacy initiatives, the work that we're doing with older adults and elder law issues, and then our Southside Petersburg operations.
Now, you mentioned elder law. Does Central Virginia Legal Aid Society get any specific funding for elder law?
We do. We receive about $32,000 a year in funding from the Crater Area Agency on Aging.
Capital Area Agency on Aging as well. The two together, Capital Area Agency on Aging and Crater Area Agency on Aging, come to about that amount.
And I know right now Central Virginia Legal Aid Society is in the middle of its Law Week fundraiser, and there are dozens of private attorneys that are coming in. They're phoning hundreds of their colleagues to raise money for legal aid. Henry, could you tell us about that?
Well, this is something that the lawyers give to us two different ways. The Bar Association of the City of Richmond sends a letter to all the major firms, all the firms, and asks them to give an amount equaling $50 per lawyer. And then, with their knowledge and permission, in addition to that, in about now, we will be sending a letter out probably May the 1st for Law Day, asking about 4,000 lawyers, individual lawyers, to give, and we suggest, one, the amount that they would charge for 1 hour of service. And then bar leaders come to our office, usually about 75, during a week. This year will be the week of May the 11th, and call individual lawyers, following up on the letter, asking them to donate.
And roughly, how much money does Central Virginia Legal Aid Society raise every year in this fundraiser just from the legal community in the Richmond, Petersburg area?
About $120,000.
And how does that compare to what other legal aids around the state or the country do?
our results are very strong. We saw a nice increase last year of about 12%. 120,000 was an increase over the previous year's support. And it's pretty consistent with what other legal aides across the region and the state are doing.
And now, of course, this is not a fundraiser show, but if anyone did want to donate to Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, whether it's now in the middle of Law Week or at any time, how would they do that?
There are lots of ways. They could contact me directly here at the office, or they could send a donation to us at 101 West Broad Street, or they could go on our website and contact us via email, or, as I said, make a telephone call directly to our receptionist or to us, to anyone on the staff here.
Okay, and are those donations tax deductible?
They are.
Okay, very good. Well, thank both of you for being with us here today. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. We have been talking with Henry McLaughlin, the Executive Director, and Sheila Mant, the Director of Fund Development, about funding for legal aid and how we raise the money that enables us to help the low-income community. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about the Direct Express Card. The first tip is that the Direct Express Card is a new debit card you can use to get and spend your Social Security or SSI benefits. You don't need a bank account. Instead, your benefits are deposited directly onto your card in full, on time, every month. The second tip is that the Direct Express card is safer and more convenient than paper checks or electronic bank deposits. No more waiting for the mail, fretting about lost or stolen checks, or worrying about bank account garnishments. The third tip is that the Direct Express card is free. There is no sign-up fee, no monthly account fee, and most services are provided free. For more information, call toll-free at 1-877-212-9991. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Congressman Bobby Scott, who represents South Richmond, Easton Enrico, Newport News, and Norfolk, held a town hall meeting on April 13 at the Enrico Theater, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there, as Congressman Scott briefed constituents on the federal budget and answered their questions and concerns. Join us next week for the first of a two-part broadcast of portions of Bobby Scott's town hall meeting. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbrink.